Grace, mercy, and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Which are the most important words in your mind when you look at the first four verses of our gospel lesson for today? I could understand where love would be the key word for you. Perhaps that word save. But here are the three words that stand out to me as I look at these verses. Everyone, world, and whoever. To me, those are the key words for me to remember, because even though I'm a pastor and I talk about God's love for all people, it's hard for me to remember. This is the way I very often think about God's love. Here is the world. Here is the blood of Jesus Christ that covers the sins of the whole world. But you notice there is an exception to the rule. Oh, that's me. That somehow God's love doesn't cover me. And there's a part of this text that says there's some truth to that, because the text says everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. Now, it doesn't take very long for me to think back over the past week and recognize that there are all kinds of deeds of darkness that I don't really want to share with you this morning. Things that I've said, things that I've done, and especially things that I've thought. There are all kinds of deeds of darkness in here. And it says, everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. I don't want to expose my deeds to you because there's darkness in here. But I'm not the only one. There's darkness out there too. In fact, I'd ask you to turn with me to page 156 in the front of the hymnal. You may not be aware of the fact that there is this marvelous personal preparation for communion on page 156. And I would like to read the second question and answer on that page, 156. And as I read the questions, I'm just going to pause a little bit, and I'm just going to ask you, are there some deeds of darkness that this question reminds you of? So that second question is, what should I do if I am not aware of my sins or am not troubled by them? And the answer, I should examine myself according to the Ten Commandments and ask how well I have carried out my responsibilities as a husband or wife or single person, as a parent or child, an employer, an employee, or teacher or student. And then these questions. Have I loved God with all my heart? Gladly heard his word. Patiently endured affliction? Have I been disobedient? Proud? Unforgiving? Have I been selfish? Lazy? Envious? Or quarrelsome? Have I lied or deceived? Taken something not mine or given anyone a bad name? Have I abused my body or permitted indecent thoughts to linger in my mind? Have I failed to do what is right and good? And the answer to every one of these questions is yes. 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 Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed. There's darkness in here. And that's why these three words are the most important words for me in the first verses of our text. Everyone, world, whoever believes. Because these words assure me that it is true not only that Jesus didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but he didn't come into the world to condemn me, but to save me. That world, everyone, whoever, is this all-encompassing set, and Jesus' goal is to save somebody like me, who spends so much time in spiritual and emotional darkness, that God loved the world, and I truly am part of the world, and so he loved me. And Jesus came not with this goal to condemn Pete Panitsky, but to save him. And with that thought in mind, we can step into the light. Whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be plainly seen that what they have done has been done in the sight of God. That we can step into the light. It's fitting that we have the new lights today. That we don't have to be afraid to have our deeds exposed. That we can step into the light and confess to our God those deeds of darkness. Because the Son of God didn't come into the world to condemn sinful human beings like me and you, but to save us. We step into the light to admit our need for the Son of God, who took our sins upon himself, and to be embraced by his love. Now, I was a little concerned that you'd think at this point that, boy, this sermon is pretty self-centered. You're talking about yourself, Pastor. But I want every one of us to claim that all-embracing love of God for each one of us, that every one of us can read this text and say, Jesus, the Son of God, did not come into the world to condemn me, but to save me. Because if we don't claim that all-embracing love of God, we can't be a blessing to anybody else. We're like a pipe. And if we don't clearly understand this all-embracing love applies to each one of us personally, how can that love of God flow through us to others? And so, the Son of Man came not to condemn me, but to save me. And when he has embraced me, and every one of us can say that, when he has embraced me in his love, what is he calling me to do? Why have I been placed into this position where I'm embraced in this saving love of God that forgives all of my sins for Jesus' sake? Why am I here? Am I here to condemn you and you and you? Oh, God, of course not. We are in this all-embracing love of our Savior, not to condemn you and you and you, but to save you, to save others, to be that that pipeline of God's marvelous forgiving love. And that's easy, isn't it? When we think of, you know, people in general. When I go to the baseball game, I'm not much of a baseball fan. And so even at the baseball game, I'm thinking, I guess, about spiritual things. I look at 40,000 people and go, wow. God loved every one of those people, right? God sent his son into the world, not to condemn those 40,000 people, but to save those 40,000 people. And just as surely as Jesus loves those 40,000 people, I love them too. But you know, it's kind of easy to do that at the baseball game, especially if the people around you are okay. Because you don't have to live with them on a daily basis and experience their selfishness and their sarcasm and their rudeness. You know, it's easy just to kind of say, oh, I love you. But God has placed us into this all-embracing, forgiving love of the Savior. Not to condemn you, but to save you. And who is the you? Primarily, it's those people that you and I rub shoulders with every day, that the people that we do experience their selfishness. It may be your spouse or significant other. It may be your roommate. It may be your coworker. It's easy to go to work and be angry with the people who mistreat you. But wouldn't it change our attitudes if every place we go, when we go to work, when we step into the classroom, when we're among friends, that we're thinking, I am not here to condemn them, but that God would use me to save them. Because God's all-embracing love in Christ includes not just me, but the you who is around me. And a lot of times, I'll be honest, I'm embarrassed to do that because the you that is around me, they see my hypocrisy. You know, what's so hilarious is it's easy for us to see the deeds of darkness in other people. We see how hypocritical they are. They may not see it, but we see it. I have a secret for you. The people around you, they can see the same thing in you. They see your deeds of darkness too. But that doesn't disqualify us to be used by God to share that all-embracing love. In fact, that's an opportunity to step into the light and to simply admit, you know that I'm not perfect. To confess to a child, if we've lost our temper, you know, that to confess that was wrong. If you lost your temper at work, to confess to your coworker. And really, it doesn't make any difference whether your coworker forgives you or not. The key thing is that you, in humility, confess, I'm far from perfect. And claim again that love, that all-embracing love of the Savior. Because when we model that in our daily lives, guess what we're doing? We're making clear to the people around us who have this incredible feeling like God may love other people, but I'm the exception to the rule. that we are modeling for them that Jesus came not to condemn sinners like me or like you, but to save sinners like me, and so also to save sinners like you. Jesus goes on and talks about the world just a little bit more, and his words certainly ring true about our world. He said, "This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but people love darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that their deeds will be exposed." The people of this world love darkness instead of light. I have a confession to make. I watched the Oscars last Sunday night. My wife made me do it. There were all kinds of comments about Harvey Weinstein. And sadly, a number of different references to organizations like Me Too and efforts like Me Too. Because there is this despicable sin out there of sexual mistreatment. And it's easy for us to look at the world around us and despise it and just be disgusted by it. And not just there in Hollywood, but as we carry out our lives, it's easy for us to come across as we are here and we are in judgment of the world because the world loves darkness, a darker life, a darker sin perhaps than you and I fall into. And it's easy for us to look in disgust at the world. But I pray that as we think about why you and I have experienced the all-embracing love of the Savior, that we recognize that you and I haven't been called into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. To step into the light, to confess how we have also been judgmental about other people. I can't tell you how many times I have heard stories of people who no longer want to walk into church because they have been wounded by the judgmental actions or words of Christians, and they just go, "I don't want anything to do with it." And every one of us has fallen into that in some way, but we can step into the light. If you hear those kind of stories, to just acknowledge, you know, we are sinful human beings too. We step into the light and let the light of God expose our sin and claim again the all-embracing love of Christ. And we recommit ourselves to say, "Lord, I am here not to stand in judgment on the world, but to save the world, that you would use me to convey God's all-embracing love to sinners like me." And so I would just ask you, what is your dream? When the Christian church began on Pentecost, the Apostle Peter quoted from the book of Joel, where God promised that young men would dream dreams and old men would see visions. What is your dream? What is your vision to fulfill what our Savior came to do? He did not come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world. You and I haven't been wrapped up in his all-embracing love in Christ to condemn the world, but that God would use us to save the world. What is our role? What can I do to sacrifice myself, just as my Savior sacrificed himself to save me? What's your dream? What's your vision? Now, we've all been gifted in different ways. That certainly has been come home to me over the last few weeks as I've been praying for our mission partners. I think about Dan Thiel and his wife Cindy. What incredible sacrifices they are making so that Dan can be in Costa Maya, Mexico, and share the love of God with people who don't know the gospel. And I wonder, I don't know if Joni and I could make that kind of sacrifice. I think about Pastor Jeremy Maddock, who is the pastor of our sister congregation, our partner in the city at Garden Homes. He has a call right now, and I've been praying for him. But I wonder, you know, he has served many years in a difficult cross-cultural ministry. I wonder if I would be able to serve my Savior in that setting. And then I think about John Holtz, our mission partner in Malawi, Africa. He has a call to do similar work in India. You know, Malawi is certainly a different culture than us, but India probably is far more difficult for Westerners to acclimatize to. And I go, I wonder if I could make that kind of sacrifice. We can't all make the same sacrifice. We aren't all blessed with the same abilities, the same passions, the same experiences. We don't all have the same financial resources. We're not all in the same place in life. And so, I don't have the answer for you. I just have the question. If it's true that God's all-embracing love includes me, that every one of us can say that, God's all-embracing love in Christ includes me, and he came not to condemn me, but to save me. If that's true, then I'm here in his love, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. That he would use me to share that all-embracing love. And so what's your vision? What's your dream? What can you do? How will your life change as you take on this call? I have not come here in God's love to condemn the world, but to save the world through Jesus Christ. Amen. Please stand. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding shall guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.